Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps to build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori Amin interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then this show. Hi, Bridget. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
So happy to have you back. So tell us where you've been up to.
Well, I've been writing. I've been working on my book that's coming out at the end of May called That Summer Feeling.
I love this. And you're also a gymnast teacher? Is that correct?
I am. Yes. I am the head coach of a competitive gymnastics program for children.
Oh my gosh. So how did you get started? And would we have a gymnastics book at some point? You know,
great question. I got started when I was a kid. I was just always flipping around the house. And especially when the 1996 Olympics aired, I was obsessed with the Magnificent Seven. I wanted to be them. And that was when I got kind of serious about gymnastics. And I competed up through when I was 14 is when I stopped. And then I was looking for a job after college, and I saw that one of my old gyms was hiring, and that was 13 years ago now. And so I'm still doing it. And yeah, I love it. It's great. It's totally different than writing. And it's a great way for me to get out of my head and just hang out with kids and not have to be bogged down by whatever I'm stressed about with writing stuff. And then as for a project about gymnastics, I have been trying and I am trying. And so we'll see. We'll see. Maybe.
It is all good. You know, the Olympics are next year, but maybe for 2028, you know.
Right. But, right. Exactly.
You know, you just know right now. So, but this is very exciting. So I love this. I love the fact you have this like creative outlet. Like it's, you have writing as a creative outlet and then have like this day job that's a little bit more different, like it requires a whole different ball game in your brain, and it probably gives space for the writing problems to, you know, to get solved.
Yeah, because I can't really, while they are so different, at the same time there's something that I really learned from gymnastics, which is how important patience is, and then how important resilience is, because gymnastics is a sport of repetition and it's a sport of failure. It's a sport of falling. Like you fall so much before you ever figure something out. And I find that I use that so much in writing too. And in, you know, publishing, it's just like such a good reminder of like, keep getting back up. You are learning from this experience. And then that is informing you going forward. So yeah, it's super invaluable.
And again, repetition. You just have to sit down and write the words. It's not sexy. It's like, it's just sit down and just like write what you need to write. And like every day, and it adds up. Like, it's not like you just like one day, I wrote a book in one day. Like, it doesn't work that way.
I wish, but no, exactly. That's what it is. It's this little cumulative action. And then suddenly there's a book. And gymnastics, it's like when you're trying to learn a new skill, it's all this practice and practice and you're missing it. And then suddenly one day you can do it. And it can feel sudden. But when you look back, much like with a book, you're like, I finished it. And with a gymnastics skill, you're like, oh, I used to not be able to do this. And now I don't even think about it anymore. So yes,
it's a true statement of the overnight success. It doesn't exist. It doesn't. It's a lot of work to get to this place, you know?
Exactly. Totally.
So let's talk about that summer feeling. What is the elevator pitch?
So That Summer Feeling is the story of Garland, and she's a 30-something recent divorcee who's kind of life has been upended by this divorce. And so she decides to go to a sleepaway camp for adults only with her sister, where she runs into a man that she thinks she's meant to be with, only to fall head over heels for his sister instead. So it's a sapphic romance. It's a queer romance. It's very light. It deals with heavy things. Obviously, we have divorce in there and there are just everybody's sort of working through things. But the summer camp setting provides such a backdrop of joy and reconnection with like your inner child and the things you loved from childhood.
I love that. So what was the research for you, you know, thinking about summer camp, like, you know, for adults, like, you know?
Yeah. So they do. I didn't go to one or anything. They do exist, summer camps for adults. There's definitely a couple different types of them. And what's funny is I actually never went to a summer camp, a traditional summer camp as a kid. I went to a gymnastics camp, but like a sleepaway gymnastics camp. But when I tell you that's not what summer camp is, it's like you just went and did gymnastics at another gym in another state. But with this, the research was really just looking into those adult camps and what they offered, how their week was structured, and then looking at children's sleepaway camps and doing the same thing. And then for the setting, this book is set in the Blue Ridge Mountains in Georgia. Mm-hmm. And I actually visited there and I stayed in the mountains, and that was the inspiration for the setting. So it was sort of just applying that research and inventing then a place in my head that existed where I stayed.
Would you attend that summer camp that you created? That's a
question. Oh, absolutely. I would. I think the whole thing I was doing, especially because I'd never been to a summer camp, was making a summer camp I would enjoy. Yeah. That was sort of very youth oriented for adults. Like it was like, okay, let's all go pretend we're 10 again, instead of like, this is cool because we drink. I mean, they do, like they drink and like they participate in adult activities, but like the spirit of it is very much youthful. And I think that's, I'm in my 30s and I relate to the characters in that. I crave that and would love that. So yes, I would attend.
I love this. Yeah, I had a couple of friends back in my New York days who built a grown-up summer camp for...
Really?
It was called Soul Camp. And it was like this wellness woo-woo with like fun activities, like regular sleepaway camps. The way they came about was they were actually... They met at summer camp years ago as teenagers, and they're like, they decided to get into business together. And the summer camp people, they were closer to summer camp people. So they were like, hey, we have this like setting during this during the year that is not used, but would you be interested in doing a summer camp, you know, with your contacts? Yeah. And so they built this like whole summer camp, you know, business around it. And it was like this like weekend, like week long, you know, activities where they have like, you know, the flag, like, you know, like the field day things, along with like, you know, meditation and yoga. You know?
Exactly. That's like, amazing. That's so cool that you know somebody that actually did that.
Yeah. So I was like, I was intrigued, but I was like, I'm too poor for it.
That's like, something. Yeah, it's expensive. Right. And like, there is a part in that summer feeling where I wrote about like the main character Garland is like, how does everybody is just can afford to like take a week out of their life? Yeah. My editor was like, flagged it and was like, well, you know, people have like PTO and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, because my job, it's like a part-time job, you know, so it's like, yeah. If I did that, I wouldn't, but.
Yeah, I was like, it's just like, you have to take PTO, you have to think about PTO. And then there's also like the bracket of like, who has a disposable income to do it, you know,
right.
To be like, hey. No.
I really know. That's so funny we're discussing this because I totally, it was like a thought of mine. So I have there is like backstory to it of how she can even go, because that is exactly where my mind went. Like, this would be expensive.
Yeah, it's a fun trip.
You know? Yeah, but it's costly.
But it is expensive. So awesome. So let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you want to recommend our listeners to pick up?
I mean, I'm a romance writer. So first and foremost, I am a romance reader. And so some books that I've loved that I read recently, I just read Sorry Bro by Taline Voskuni. And that is about an Armenian American woman who is engaged to a man. And well, he proposes and she sort of panics and says, like, let's think about it. So I shouldn't say engaged because they're not technically, but long time relationship. And so they take this break. And when she's on this break, she really wants to reconnect to her Armenian culture and like reinvest, because that's something really important to her family. And through that, she falls for a woman, which is sort of like a similar twist as in That Summer Feeling. And it's just so... it's so interesting. There's so much about Armenian culture and just little nuances. I love to learn through books. So I really appreciated that. And then there's just so much relatability. The main character is super engaging and just like vulnerable in a way that I also love. And then of course it's a sapphic romance, which I, how could I not love? I write it. So yeah. That's definitely would be first on my recommendation list. I read by, it's not out yet. It's called With Love from Cold World by Alicia Thompson. I believe it comes out in August. And that is, she's so good at these very niche things. And this is basically set in Florida at a cold, like it's like a theme park that's like centered on like wintry things, but it's year round in Florida. And so it's just a bookkeeper, or like a girl who works in the sort of the business side of it. And then a guy who works in the more of the attraction side of it, and they're enemies, or they're just like have friction and they end up falling for each other. And it's, I mean, you know, it's like, that's what's so great about romances. It's just like, you know what's going to happen, obviously, yeah. But it's just when an author can really get you to invest in the characters, the payoff is just so sweet. And it's just like, it feels revelatory, even though obviously from page one, you pick it up and you know what's going to happen. And I just think that that's the best thing about reading, honestly. You know, you're getting a book and just being like, you got me there. You took me exactly where I wanted you to take me. And then lastly, I would say I just finished Meet Me at the Lake by Carly Fortune, which came out at the beginning of May. She's the author of Every Summer After as well. And she does such a great job of the women's fiction romance mashup. So a little bit heavier themes. She's always kind of working with grief and death in there. But then the romances just have that like total crackly tension to them. And she does such a good job of dual timelines. And she did that in both of them, where you're seeing a past timeline between the main character and her love interest, and then the present, and then sort of how they intersect and what's happening in the past and how it informs the present. So I think those three recommendations can kind of like really give you such a big scope of how romance is in the current market, a contemporary romance, I should say.
Yeah. And I love Meet Me at the Lake. It has like the summer dirty dancing feeling of just, you know, in this like lakeside resort. That's, you know, it's in Canada, but I feel like it's in the Catskills, you know.
But that's what I love too. I love it's similar to what I was saying about Sorry Bro. And I love to like learn about places or cultures that I don't know as much about. And I've never been to Canada, but I think Carly writes about it with such affection that it feels so, it paints such a vivid picture for me that I understand it so well through her books. And and she does such great settings. I love the like lakeside resort.
Yeah, I love that. And the day in Toronto, I was like, oh, I need to travel to Toronto.
Exactly. Yeah, it makes you want to get out of your house. It's good. It's good that an author can do that.
Basically, just visit Carly and be like, hey, Carly, I'm in your house.
Let's do it. Let's do the tour.
Let's do the tour. So
exactly.
Awesome. So Bridget, tell us where we can find you online.
I am really just on Instagram these days, and my handle is Bridget J. Morrissey. And then I have a website, which is the same, BridgetJMorrissey.com. But I'm occasionally on Twitter, but it's pretty, pretty rare. So I would say Instagram and my website.
Thank you, Bridget, for being on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other book recommendations, please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com. Thank you so much for listening and happy reading.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.